This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Making the case. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, June 10. Glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
The House committee probing last year's attack on the Capitol has held its first of six hearings to convince the country of former President Trump's involvement.
Three people were killed after a gunman opened fire at a worksite in Maryland. Separately, a man trying to break into an Alabama school was killed by police.
The major stock market indexes were all down by about 2% yesterday. Meanwhile, we get the latest inflation data today.
And in a post-pandemic world, is it now okay to wear shorts to the office?
There's this idea that people don't really want to break from the way that they've been living while working from home. And that trickles down to what we wear. So there is this sense of relaxing of dress codes.
Jacob Gallagher at the Wall Street Journal on wearing shorts to the office. The House Select Committee investigating the attack on the Capitol 15 months ago is trying to convince the nation that former President Trump's claims of a stolen election incited his followers to try to interrupt the peaceful transfer of power. The committee held a prime time hearing last evening. Wyoming Republican Liz Cheney.
You will hear how President Trump summoned a violent mob and directed them illegally to march on the United States Capitol.
There are no Trump supporters among the eight committee members. A Wall Street Journal editorial says the biggest challenge for this week's Pelosi production may be getting audiences to accept committee members appearing in new roles. The journal says, for example, California's Adam Schiff spent years pushing a Trump conspiracy theory. Now he's being asked to play a guy opposed to people pushing election conspiracy theories. And Committee Chairman Benny Thompson of Mississippi was among the 31 Democrats who sought to prevent the certification of the re-election of President George W. Bush in 2005. A 23-year-old man has been arrested after he opened fire on his co-workers at a manufacturing facility in northern Maryland, killing at least three people and critically wounding a fourth. The Washington County Sheriff said the gunman, who was not identified by police, was wounded in an exchange of gunfire with a Maryland State trooper while trying to flee in a car. Maryland State Police Lieutenant Colonel Bill Doffelmeyer.
The weapons used at both scenes was a semi-automatic handgun. The exact caliber, make, and model is not being released at this time. It's part of the investigation.
Police didn't offer a motive, but said the gunman and all of his victims were employees of Columbia Machine in Smithsburg. That's near the Pennsylvania state line. Elsewhere, a man who tried to force his way into an Alabama elementary school yesterday was shot and killed by police. It's not clear if he was armed or why he might have been trying to get into the school in Gadsden. All the exterior doors were locked. Prosecutors in western Michigan say a police officer has been charged with one count of second-degree murder in the shooting death that followed a traffic stop. Grand Rapids police officer Christopher Schur stands accused of killing an unarmed motorist named Patrick Leoya, who was shot in the back of the head following a brief foot chase after a routine traffic stop in April. Police Chief Eric Winstrom.
I intend to recommend the city manager immediately suspend Officer Schur without pay pending termination. I recognize the impact this will have on a longtime employee and a friend of many at the Grand Rapids Police Department, but I think it is the right thing to do.
Mr. Leoya was pulled over for not having proper plates. Toxicology reports later showed he was drunk. Mr. Leoya ran from Officer Schur before the officer caught him and wrestled him to the ground. During the altercation, Mr. Schur drew his firearm and shot Mr. Leoya in the head, killing him. Mr. Schur said Mr. Leoya grabbed his taser. Video of the incident shows Mr. Schur catching up to Mr. Leoya, the two wrestling, and the officer straddling the prone and struggling man as Mr. Schur draws his firearm. Coming up next, Democrats may be tiring of progressives.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The majority of Democrats may be tiring of progressive visions. Ever since the Green New Deal vision, it's been mostly downhill. For example, Tuesday in California, voters recalled the progressive San Francisco DA, Chesa Boudin, whom they elected in 2019. Tired of worsening crime, homelessness, drug use, and untreated mental illness on the streets of San Francisco. More from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, start with Mr. Boudin.
For people who are not familiar with him, he's the district attorney in San Francisco. He got elected in 2019, and he's a so-called progressive prosecutor. There are prosecutors, DAs, and other types of prosecutors in some cities who have been trying to, I don't know if soft on crime is the right word, but they look for alternatives to putting people convicted of crimes in prison, especially young people. And you know, there may be some logic to this, which is, don't commit people to the prison system for 20 years so they become sort of institutionalized for life, like give them a chance at rehabilitation. The problem in San Francisco is he was doing this at the same time that crime is getting worse, homelessness is getting worse, drug abuse on the streets is getting worse, and San Franciscans are just getting sick of it. So this was not a general election where he was up for re-election against a normal candidate. This was a highly unusual recall campaign, and San Francisco voters fired him. They basically said, you're out of a job. So he is literally out of the job. The mayor will appoint somebody else until there's a new election in November. And given that San Francisco is such a Democratic liberal stronghold to start with, to see San Francisco voters basically kicking out somebody who is a champion of progressive policies is being read as a sign that Democratic progressivism is just completely on the way out. Because if you can't sell this to liberal Democrats in San Francisco, you can't sell it anywhere. And that has major implications for the Democrats trying to hold on to Congress in this year's midterm elections, including on some economic issues, which they have a lot of.
Do the progressives slash liberal wingers of the party now rethink strategy?
The progressives probably don't rethink strategy because their point of view is we stand for what we stand for, whether it's popular among the mainstream or not. And they do, you know, this is, we're talking about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They seem to think that if they could just get some of their ideas passed and voters would see what great policies these are, then people would come around to it. But here's the problem. Some of those things have passed and voters have yawned. And I'll give you an example. One of them is this expansion of the child tax credit that was passed as part of the American Rescue Plan in 2021. That was temporary. That extra expansion went into effect only for 6 months. And Democrats thought, well, once people see how great it is that you can get this advanceable tax credit, and it's going to put so much money into the pockets of middle-class families and working-class families, of course, voters are going to demand that we make this permanent. And voters did no such thing. And that expired at the end of 21 because Democrats just couldn't muster the support to pass it again. Another big issue that's still live that this has implications for is student debt cancellation. This is an area where there's a big divide between progressive Democrats who say cancel basically as much student debt as you can get away with, and more moderate Democrats, which includes President Biden, and then independents and Republicans who are just opposed to it. But progressives want to forgive a ton of student debt, and mostly everybody else says that doesn't seem right and it doesn't seem fair. And the White House right now is grappling with whether Biden should do something on this by executive action. And I think if you're looking at what happened in San Francisco, that is a sign saying maybe dial back your ambitions a little bit, because while progressives might love this, mostly everybody else will not.
Wow. We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Somebody in your story said something to the effect of Democrats face permanent minority status, I guess, if they don't change things. Was that his point?
Yeah, that was Jim Kessler, who's a he's been a Democratic operative for a long time. He now works at a think tank called Third Way, and I think he believes what a lot of more traditional or centrist Democrats feel, that is, if you just keep trying to convince Americans that these progressive policies, which are, you know, expansive social net programs, much more than we have now, lots of tax breaks and subsidies and giveaways, more stimulus spending than we've already had, these are just not popular with, let's say, 75% of voters.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Dom Sabino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
On primetime TV, the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol held its first in a series of hearings. The panel began arguing its case. Former President Donald Trump was at the center of the plot to overturn the 2020 election. The committee heard from Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards, who recalls being pepper sprayed by rioters after being knocked unconscious.
I got sprayed in the eyes as well. I was taken to be decontaminated by another officer, but we didn't get the chance because we were then tear gassed.
The committee also played recorded testimony from Trump's Attorney General Bill Barr, who said he told the former president there was no evidence of fraud impacting the election outcome.
Number two.
New info has come to light about what officers knew while on the scene of the Uvalde, Texas school shooting. The New York Times is reporting officers waited outside classrooms for over an hour, despite being aware there were injured victims trapped inside. New documents show the incident commander, school police chief Pete Arredondo, was afraid to risk officers' lives. Investigators are now trying to determine if any of the 21 victims who died could have been saved had they received treatment sooner.
Number three.
The White House is preparing to roll out COVID vaccine doses for small kids. Federal officials say they've ordered millions of shots, with authorization expected as soon as next week. So far, 5 million doses have been made available for states and pharmacies. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy says further funding is needed to buy more doses.
When we fail to sustain our attention and funding to public health interventions, the cost of that failure can be measured in illness incurred and lives lost.
Children under the age of 5 are the only group of Americans not yet eligible to get vaccinated against COVID. It's a big morning on Wall Street. Highly anticipated new data on inflation will be released before the market opens. There's some hope it will show inflation has peaked, but economists still expect a red-hot reading somewhere over 8%. And this may be the grooviest vacation ever, a stay in the Mystery Machine. This month marks 20 years since Scooby-Doo the movie hit theaters, and to celebrate, Airbnb is renting out a recreation of that iconic blue and green camper van. The Mystery Machine will be available for 3 one-night stays later this month in a spot on the California coast. It comes with all of Shaggy and Scooby's favorite foods, hot dogs, popcorn, candy, and of course, Scooby snacks.
Oh, that's good living right there.
Yeah, I can't ask for much more.
That is good living. Thanks, Dom. Coming up next, wearing shorts in the office.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. In legal bureaus, tech world enclaves, and even world-famous newsrooms, the question is pinging around again as warmer weather arrives. Can you wear shorts to work? Here to explore is Jacob Gallagher, men's fashion columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Jacob, your take.
You know, it's funny. This is one of those topics that we have discussed a lot. Every summer it kind of rears its head again of, you know, should you be allowed to wear shorts in the office? Will people wear shorts in the office? All that kind of stuff. This year, it has taken a new cast because obviously right now a lot of companies are trying desperately to get employees back into the workplace. And there's been a lot of discussion, and we've covered extensively throughout the paper, you know, incentives that companies are offering to sweeten the deal, if you will, you know, get employees back to work by offering them lunch or donuts or coffee or what have you every morning. And there's this idea that people don't really want to break from the way that they've been living while working from home. And that trickles down to what we wear. So there is this sense of relaxing of dress codes, and whether that's a formal declaration from a company of, hey, you know, you're allowed to wear shorts now, or whether that's simply the fact that your boss is now going to turn a blind eye to the fact that you might want to dress a little bit more slovenly as long as you are punching the clock. That kind of, we're seeing that a little bit more, and we're definitely hearing that, you know, from people kind of across fields, whether it's law or marketing or economics.
Is it common anywhere in any industry?
You know, it certainly is common in industries that are already more relaxed. You know, I can say when I spoke with people that worked in communications or that worked in marketing or advertising or these industries that are a little bit more creative, that space to say, you know, in particular Silicon Valley comes to mind, that space to say you can wear whatever you want as long as you do your work, that has kind of been a dominant thought for a while. You know, again, particularly in the tech world, there's this idea that if you're good at coding or if you're good at coming up with ideas, no one should be able to tell you what you quote unquote have to wear to the office. There's other fields, of course, that are, you know, remain more formal. Law in particular comes to mind. You know, we used to say politics came to mind, but if you look at John Fetterman, who's the Democratic candidate for the senator of Pennsylvania, you know, the odds are pretty good that he's seen more in shorts than in a suit.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jacob Gallagher, men's fashion columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "Finally We Can Wear Shorts in the Office, Maybe." I think the argument was made in your piece, well, women can show their knees and calves, why not men, right? What's the response to that?
Well, it's important to note that a dress is inherently more formal. A dress or a skirt are inherently more formal for, you know, whatever reason. That's how we classify them in our heads when we see them. Those are more formal than a pair of shorts. That's just kind of a fact. Whereas ultimately, a pair of shorts, it's always going to read as being tremendously more informal. And, you know, a few people have already pointed out that I don't really want to look at a guy's legs. And I don't even mean this in a leering or creepy way, but women kind of tend to know or take a little bit better care, if you will, of their legs and how they look. Whereas men, you know, they just say, screw it. You know, I've got nicks on my knees, or, you know, my legs are hairy, and, you know, you might have to be looking at your coworker's kind of unkempt, if you will, shins if he's wearing shorts.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Gallagher, men's fashion columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, June 10. Gordon Deal with Dom Savino, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The January 6th committee begins presenting its case. 3 people dead after a gunman opened fire at a manufacturing plant in northern Maryland. Murder charge for a Michigan cop and the death of Patrick Leoya. Another record high for gas today. The national average reached $4.99 a gallon. We get the latest inflation data later today. Oklahoma won its second straight Women's College World Series. Angels end their 14-game losing streak. and the young baseball fan who got a heartwarming surprise. That story in about 20 minutes. Another spike in monthly price growth is posing a serious threat to the U.S. economy and President Biden's political prospects. New Consumer Price Index inflation data due out today is expected to show consumer prices rising at a faster rate between April and May. More from Sylvan Lane, economics reporter at The Hill. Sylvan, what are you hearing?
So the general idea that I'm getting from economists right now is probably something that, you know, most everybody kind of knows. Things are still getting more expensive. Prices for food and gas and, you know, all the bare essentials are still going up. They might be going up slightly slower than they were earlier in the year, but the bottom line is things are already expensive, and they definitely got more expensive in May. On Friday, we find out just how much more expensive they got.
Okay, so when we find out just how much more expensive they got, it's kind of another difficult position here for the Biden administration to be in, because as you point out, for months they downplayed inflation.
That's right. You know, the Biden administration, the Federal Reserve, and honestly, a ton of economists expected inflation to go up a little bit last year, mainly for goods that, you know, are shipped from China or, you know, the kinds of things that people bought to keep themselves entertained before we could all go outside and do stuff again because of the pandemic. But the problem is the prices for those goods kept getting expensive. And now we're seeing the prices of food, healthcare, transportation, gas go up really, really far, well higher than the Biden administration expected and for a lot longer. And, you know, that's a pretty big political problem because, we've got the midterm elections coming up in November. People are paying like crazy for food and gasoline. And even though the economy has about the same unemployment rate as it did before the pandemic, inflation is really, really tough, and it hits a lot of families in ways they can't really avoid.
Yeah. As you said, too, President Biden and his top economic officials are coming to terms with the challenge of inflation that's now in front of them. What does that mean exactly?
So in the beginning of this year and toward the end of last year, we still heard of the Biden administration express confidence that inflation would start to come down on its own as the economy got into more of a normal groove after shutting down during the pandemic and then ramping up again really, really quickly once we got stimulus and the vaccines going. Now you're starting to hear a little bit of a different story. President Biden has admitted that, you know, it's not just Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine, though that's a big part of it. This isn't, you know, just supply chain issues anymore. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was talking to lawmakers at the Capitol, and she said, you know, we don't really have a great way to insulate ourselves from high gas prices. So you're starting to hear a little bit more honesty, a little bit more recognition from administration officials of how difficult this is going to be to bring to an end.
We're speaking with Sylvan Lane, economics reporter at The Hill. His story is called Biden and Economy Imperiled by Predicted May Inflation Spike. All right, so in your piece, too, you said even if inflation has peaked, we're still going to be dealing with these quickly rising prices for months, if not years. That's, as you said, something that's going to weigh on perhaps not only primary elections now, but certainly November and possibly 2024, I guess.
No, certainly. I mean, one way of looking at it is if it's been, you know, 100 degrees every day for the past month, and I told you, oh, you know, there's great news. It's only going to be 97 degrees tomorrow. You'll probably be a little bit relieved, but you're still going to be in 97 degree weather. And the bottom line right now is the annual inflation rate last month was 8.3%. If it decreases, it's still going to be around 8%, which means that at the cost of goods in general is getting 8% more expensive every year. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but it piles up over time and it hits families who either don't have that much income or folks who are on fixed income, especially retirees, particularly hard because their wages aren't really going up that much in comparison to where prices are going. So what we need to see for the economy to get to a more normal pace is inflation to come down and the rate and for prices to go up at a much slower rate before they eventually start to come down. But, you know, it's hard to get there for policymakers without making other things go awry.
Thanks, Sylvan. Sylvan Lane, economics reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, what's lurking outside a zoo in Texas? High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we have a couple of unusual things to tell you about in Texas today. We start in Houston, where we find a perfect example of what not to do if you're planning to commit a crime. A YouTuber who posts videos rapping about robbing ATMs out of state was arrested this week for allegedly robbing an ATM out of state in Tennessee. According to Nashville police, the 30-year-old man and three others were arrested after checking out of a motel in Dixon, Tennessee. The YouTuber recently shared a music video called Make It Home, in which he raps about robbing ATMs out of state, with lyrics describing having thousands of dollars in their vehicle, praying to avoid the chase, and making it home. All four of the Texans face federal charges. The FBI is now investigating to determine if they committed similar robberies before.
Hmm.
I mean, my guess is yes.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I don't have the evidence in front of me, but if I was to go on a hunch, I'd say probably, and that's probably a good road for them to go down, to look into that.
How about that?
Yes, but he's going to go on YouTube and tell everybody about it.
He kind of just made his own case, didn't he?
Yeah.
For the prosecution, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, making it easy on us, so I guess we applaud them for doing that, right?
Wow.
You know, this should be nice and quick, I think, when it gets to court, you would think.
As the accused says, here's the evidence against me, pretty much.
I
think that's what's happening here.
Yeah. Again, just trying to save you some time and money, everybody.
Right.
And there's something strange lurking around the zoo in Amarillo, but it's not one of the animals. The city posted a photo to Facebook this week showing what appears to be an oddly dressed person wandering outside of the gates of the zoo at 1:25 a.m. a few weeks ago, almost resembling a furry animal walking on its hind legs. In the caption, the city offers a few suggestions as to what he, she might be. A person in a strange hat, maybe a chupacabra. Commenters in the posts had their own suggestions, like Sonic the Hedgehog, Captain Jack Sparrow, and Rocket the Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy. One person joked that whatever it was trying to reach the zoo attendants about their car's extended warranty. Mm. In the meantime, the city has taken to calling the mysterious figure a UAO, or Unidentified Amarillo Object.
Like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
That is a very weird looking image. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. I can't quite figure it out. My initial reaction was it seemed like a skinny person in a cowboy hat.
Right.
But you planted like the chupacabra thing in my head, and I can't really get that out of my head.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it looked like an animal. It looked like, again, like a werewolf almost, like something, you know, an animal standing on its hind legs.
Yeah.
Now, it is most likely a person in a hat with the light playing tricks, because it is, you know, the middle of the night, and there's a bright light shining from the distance, so it is most likely something playing tricks on our eyes.
Well,
but
don't kill the fun, Mike.
I mean, we could at least say it could be somebody in a costume.
Okay.
Right? Let's at least have that kind of fun and say it's that.
It's 1:25 in the morning.
Yeah.
Outside a zoo.
I know where you're going with this.
Let's be creative here. You know,
yeah.
Let's have a little more fun. Don't say most likely a person.
And you were also probably going to say, is there a bar within walking distance? That's what you were also probably thinking.
I did want to throw that out there, I got to admit. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
An all-star team of the world's best journalists bring you the facts each and every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. Want to be a morning person? Tips from Dr. Wendy Troxell, behavioral scientist with RAND Corporation. She told Fox News, number one, walk back your sleep schedule bit by bit. Backing up your sleep schedule by 15 minutes every morning and every night helps the body to acclimate to a new internal clock. Number two, get some light. As soon as your alarm clock goes off, open the shades, turn on lamps and lights, even use a light box. Number three, be consistent. Once you begin training your body to fall asleep and wake up at a certain time, it's important not to switch up the schedule. And yes, that means no sleeping in on the weekends. Number four, ditch snooze and just rip off the Band-Aid. For example, count down from five, then get out of bed. Number five, consider taking melatonin. It's a chronobiotic, so it's a time shifter, not a sleep aid. Instead of taking melatonin right before bedtime, try taking it several hours earlier. And number six, try the RISE technique. It's an acronym. The R, refrain from hitting snooze. I, increase physical activity. S, splash your face with cold water. E, exposure to sunlight. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The January 6th House Committee has held its first of six high-profile hearings. In primetime last night, the panel began arguing its case former President Donald Trump was involved in the plot to overturn the 2020 election. The panel played recorded testimony from several figures in the Trump White House, including Joint Chiefs General Mark Milley. He recalls Vice President Mike Pence's response to the attack.
He was very animated, very direct, very firm and to Secretary Milley. Get the military down here, get the guard down here, put down this situation, etc.
Pence was inside the Capitol during the attack. There's no evidence Trump attempted to use any arm of the government to squash the attack.
Number two.
A Michigan police officer is expected to be arraigned today after being charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of an unarmed motorist. It all stems from a routine traffic stop in April in which Grand Rapids police officer Christopher Schur, a white man, pulled over Patrick Loya, a black man. Loya attempted to run away from Schur, who wrestled Loya to the ground and shot him in the back of the head. Schur has said Loya grabbed his taser.
Number three.
Maryland police have arrested the alleged suspect in a shooting at a factory that left three people dead and critically injured a state trooper. It happened at a concrete equipment plant in the rural town of Smithsburg. Here's Washington County Sheriff Sergeant Carly Hose.
Gunshots were exchanged between the suspect and the trooper. Both were injured and transported for medical treatment.
There's no word yet on whether the suspect had any connection to the company. More than 2 years after the first COVID case was detected in China, there's still no certainty on what started the global pandemic. Now, the World Health Organization is reconsidering one possible cause. The agency is recommending a deeper probe into whether a lab accident may be to blame. The WHO has been criticized over the last year for dismissing a lab leak theory. And NASA is getting serious about UFOs. The space agency is launching a study of those unexplained sightings in what's being called a first step towards trying to explain them. Now, don't expect any grand confirmations of conspiracy theories. NASA says it won't be using any classified military data, but it wants to figure out the basics, like what we know and what we don't know. The study will run into next year.
Wow. So what we know is not much.
Right.
What we don't know is really a lot, and how much more info is needed would be pretty much infinite.
I think they should hire you for the study.
I think the study is done. Quite honestly, I think I just finished it. Thanks,
nicely done.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. An 8-year-old from New York got the surprise of his life when his mom gave him tickets to his first Yankees game. His reaction was caught on camera. Richie Smith from Highland, about 85 miles north of New York City, was initially told he was going to his grandmother's house. Mom Nicole then pulls the gotcha moment while he's seated in the back seat of the car, telling him they're going to the Bronx for the game so he can see his favorite player, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge, which is why he was encouraged to wear his Judge shirt.
We're going to a Yankee game.
Mom told News 12 The Bronx that she wasn't expecting him to react that way. She said she definitely had tears of her own. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.